Good morning, everyone. I appreciate all of you for being here. How many in here, by show of hands, will say that they've enjoyed this series, the Pathway series? I think it's been awesome. The previous series that we have had, I've really enjoyed it. I think it's made a difference in our church, and I am excited to see what God's going to continue to do through it. So before we jump into the lesson, okay, I'll try to talk louder. I don't know how to do that. I'll try to talk louder. Before we jump into the lesson, I want to start with a word of prayer. So if you all will join with me, and let's pray for not only this class that we're in, but let's pray for all the classes going on throughout the campus and the classes that will happen next week. And for the classes that have been recorded, let's pray that whoever hears these lessons, that they are changed and challenged and encouraged by God through them. So let's join together in a word of prayer. Lord, we love you and we thank you, God, so much for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our church, God. We thank you, Lord, for meeting us here every week, God, for doing great and mighty things in our lives and in this church. Lord, I pray for each and every Pathway class, God, that you would work through the instructors, God, that you would give them courage, Lord, that you would get them anointing, Jesus, that you would speak through them. God, speak through me today. God, I pray, Lord, that you would anoint each and every person in this place, God, that you would help us to open our ears and our heart to receive your word today. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm going to start with a pretty familiar scripture. We should all probably know it. In Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Our light isn't just meant to shine here within our church. It's not even just meant to shine within our own little circles, but it's meant to shine everywhere we go for everyone to see. In this lesson, we will continue to learn how to challenge and equip ourselves to see our everyday environments as our own personal mission fields. When we live with a missional mindset, our purpose is not limited to Sundays and midweek classes, but it expands into the places that we go and the people we come in contact with on a daily basis. The goal of this series is to shift our mindset from just making it through each day to actually living on mission, where our lives reflect God's purpose and our gifts are activated in every setting. So let's talk about redefining the mission field. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So I have a question. Who in here, by raising your hand, who has the Holy Ghost? Looks like pretty much all of us. That's awesome. So because you have the Holy Ghost, you have been called and equipped to witness to everyone you meet. Now, I'm going to be honest with you all. It's not an easy thing for me to just walk up to somebody and start a conversation. You know, Sister Brittany mentioned in our first week, the first class this week, in this series, she mentioned her personality test. She's pretty much 50-50 introverted, extroverted. I'm way on the introverted side. So if you're like me, I'm sure you understand it's not an easy thing to just initiate a conversation with somebody. But even though we should be trying to do that, we should be trying to witness going up to people and starting conversations. That's not the only way we can witness. You know, we may be held back by how insignificant we feel, or not feeling like we have the right words to say, or not feeling qualified to speak into someone's life. I don't feel qualified to be standing up here teaching this lesson right now. I don't feel qualified most of the time when I'm up on the platform singing, but it's not about us. It's about God working in us, and He can use each and every one of us, the gifts that we have, if we will allow Him. the Holy Ghost doesn't just give you the power to feel qualified. You know, you're not going to find the power to feel qualified, but God gives you the power through the Holy Ghost to be who He needs you to be and do what He needs you to do. So when I was asked to teach a class for this series, and these subjects were sent out for everyone to choose from, this one specifically, living with a missional mindset at work, school, and home, this one jumped out at me because it's something that I have felt God working on in me for a very long time. Thankfully, I can say that I was blessed to grow up in Christian school. I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home, with my whole family living for God. I'm very thankful that that was how I was raised. You know, we weren't a perfect family. We had issues, and you know, at the time they may have seemed impossible, but because we had that foundation of a spiritual home, a Holy Ghost filled, truth believing home, because we had that foundation, God kept us through everything. And I'm very thankful that I have that testimony. But I know that that's not always the case. I know that not every, you know, kid gets to go to Christian school. A lot of kids go to public school. I know that most kids may not grow up in a Christian home. And so I'm very thankful that I have that testimony. But because I grew up pretty much surrounded by the church, my mission to reach the lost really began when I entered the workforce, when I started working and I was suddenly surrounded by people who didn't, you know, believe the same as me. God never intended for our faith just to stay right here in the church. You know, He never intended for our faith just to stay within our families living for God. He intended for us to allow our faith to invade our world daily. So, a little backstory of me when I started working. My first job was at McDonald's. It was a great first job. You know, flipping burgers and telling people the ice cream machine wasn't working. It was great. So that was my first job. And what I remember most about working there was just the friendships that I made, the people that I worked with every single day. And, you know, of course, I'm sure most of the ladies in here get this a lot, but when you walk into a McDonald's in a skirt and long hair, you know, people start asking questions. So everywhere I worked, people always had the questions, oh, why do you wear skirts? You know, why do you have long hair? And that in itself is a way to open up conversation about my faith and what I believe and, you know, why I live the way that I live. And so that was a lot of what happened when I was working at McDonald's, you know, connecting with people. I was able to talk about my faith because they had questions. And, you know, I had one really good friend there. She would ask me questions and we would talk about the truth. And she ended up coming to church with me, got the Holy Ghost, got baptized. And it was just so encouraging, so amazing to see God do that work in my friend. You know, he could have sent anyone to reach her, but he chose to send me. And I'm very thankful for that. And then from there I moved to Walmart, where, you know, it was pretty much a similar situation, you know, surrounded by people who didn't necessarily believe the exact way that I believe. And so people still had questions and, you know, I got to know more people there, but that also was a time in my life where I wasn't really sure. I was kind of unsure about where my future was headed. And so while I was working at Walmart, my dad, he was working on computers at the time, and he my work now, where I work now, they were one of his clients, and he was just working on my boss's computer one day, and she was kind of venting to him about you know, trouble she was having with one of her employees not being consistent, not showing up. And my dad stepped out, you know, looking out for his little girl, stepped out, and you know, he said, she doesn't have experience, but if you want someone dependable, I know someone. And that's how I got the job that I have now. And I've been there for going on 6 years. And it's been a blessing in my life, but it wasn't only just a blessing for me. You know, it wasn't just God placing me in a stable job where I have the opportunity to stay there and retire from there if this is where God keeps me. You know, it wasn't just a blessing for me, but it was God placing me there to be a light and a witness to the people that I work with and customers that come through. It became my personal mission field. Each one of us have our own mission fields that we are called to. Sister Rachel said it in her lesson last week. She said, each one of you can reach different people that I'll never come in contact with. The people that I work with, you may never meet them, but I work with them on a daily basis. That's my mission field. So each one of us are called to our own mission fields. And that is why it is so important for us to do our very best to keep that mission mindset every day. And if we're not careful, it can be easy to get caught up in our day-to-day lives that we forget to focus on our God-given purpose, which is to reach the lost. Again, just being honest with you all, I wish I could stand up here and say that I used every opportunity, every conversation to, point it back to Jesus. But unfortunately, I'm human. But, I get caught up in my own personal things going on, and some of you may feel the same way. You get caught up in your lives where you forget to focus on the true goal, which is seeing people and reaching to them and showing Jesus to them. But as believers, it's important that we do our very best. Like I said, it's important that we do everything we can to make sure that we stay mission-minded. So in Colossians 3, 23 through 24, it says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now that word in that verse, heartily, it means to a great degree, and to me it means with all your heart. We have to make sure that our hearts are right with God, because if we're not right with God, then how can we expect to have a mission-minded, if we're not putting God first and doing our part in making sure that we're right with God where we need to be, how can we, then reach out to people? How can we see people the way He does? Are we making sure that we're spending time with God in prayer, or do we have a true relationship with Him? Are we reading His word and hiding it in our heart? Are we setting aside our flesh, crucifying our flesh by fasting and drawing closer to the Lord? When we fail to make sure that our hearts are right, that is when we can struggle to take our eyes off of our own lives and see our mission fields clearly. But when we are truly kingdom-minded, the work we do in our mission fields is worship to the Lord. If you're not comfortable talking to people, when you take that step, when you push yourself to find the courage to take that step, say we hear stories all the time of people just walking through Walmart and God lays someone on their heart and I'm not sure why God wants me to go pray with them, but you walk up to them and you tell them, hey, I just feel the need to pray for you, and they suddenly, you see it on their face, they either break down or they start telling you everything that's going on, and then that's when you can see, God uses us in that way. So when we take that step of faith, when we find that courage to push ourselves to reach out to people, that's worship to God, and He can use us in that, even if we don't feel qualified. At schools, students can be missionaries in the classroom. That's why it's so important for not just to have your kids involved here in church, but to make sure that you're teaching them at home. Make sure that you're surrounding, filling their lives with that, so that when they're in their schoolrooms, when they're, just hanging out with their friends, they can be missionaries. You don't have to travel the world to be a missionary. You don't have to go across the sea to be a missionary. You don't have to be a certain age. Students can be missionaries in their classroom. I had, like I said, I grew up in a Christian school, but our youth group at the time, we had some kids that weren't in Christian school, they were in public schools, and they were involved in P7 clubs at their school. And so we had the opportunity in our youth group, we would go with them to their P7 clubs, and that was always a really amazing thing to see. It was to see these kids taking that step of faith and being brave, standing for what they believed in front of their peers. Workers can reflect Christ in boardrooms and break rooms. Like I said, my friend at McDonald's, Haley was her name, seeing God do that work in her life, that was That was amazing. And then I had another friend, her name was Kristen. She came in one day and she just had something going on in her family. I can't remember the exact details, but she came up to me and she asked me to pray because she knew what I believed. She knew I was that I prayed, and she asked me to pray. And so when she did that, I told her, "I'm going to be praying for you." And then on my lunch break, I came here to the church and I got a prayer cloth and I took it back to her. And when I gave it to her and explained what it was, what it meant, just seeing her face light up, just seeing that, someone cared enough to do that for her and show her that I really will be praying with you for this situation. We can do that where we work. We can minister to people we work with like that. And then parents and children can disciple at home. Like I said, parents, it's important that, you're teaching your kids more than they're learning here in Sunday school. It's important that you're teaching your kids, but also children can be disciple in their own home. I mean, the story of Cole praying for his dad, requesting prayer for his dad, that's such a beautiful story. And because his mom was making the decision to bring him to church, to raise him in this truth, he had the faith to step out and ask for prayer for his dad. And now we see that his dad is living for God, and that it's such a wonderful story. So your assignment is not limited by a pulpit. You don't have to be, like I said, you don't have to be a certain age. You don't have to have all the credentials. You don't have to be, the preacher that everyone wants to hear at conferences to be able to minister to people. You don't have to stand behind a physical pulpit. Your pulpit is wherever your feet are planted. So let's talk about activating spiritual gifts outside the church. In Romans 12, verses 6 through 8, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And First Peter verse chapter 4 verse 10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So from these scriptures, we see that each and every one of us have gifts, are equipped with spiritual gifts, whether it's prophecy, serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leading, or mercy. We must learn how to activate those gifts in every part of our lives. You don't have to have every single one of these gifts. If you just have one that you feel God is working on in you, it's important to learn how to put that gift into action. Spiritual gifts are not limited within the four walls of our church. Like I said, students can be missionaries at their schools. If you're a teacher and you teach a classroom full of kids, you can prophesy hope in that classroom. If you see one little kid that's struggling with something at home, and you can just pull them aside and you can say, "Hey, it's going to be okay," or "I'm here for you." You can be that hope that they need to see. A manager can lead with godly wisdom. If you're in a management position, you can show your team, this may not look like the best way to make the most money. This may not look like the best way, but I believe, God is directing us down this path, and your team is going to see that wisdom. Your team is going to see that you're trusting in God, and they're going to see how it plays out. If you're trusting in God to work in a situation, and he's going to show up, you can trust that he's going to show up. So your team will see that if you choose to lead with godly wisdom. And then a nurse can show mercy that softens hearts towards God. So some of you probably know her. Her name's Chastity. She comes to church here, but she's a traveling CNA right now. So she's in a different state. But she's told me countless stories of how she's had the opportunity to speak to different people. One in particular that comes to mind, she told me about a young boy that she was, working with. He said that he was an atheist. And, he didn't come across, rude or hateful towards her, but because of the way that she just showed God's love to him, because of the way that she saw him and respected him, even though she knew he didn't believe what she believes, he opened up to her and he kind of explained to her, things that had gone on in his life and why he believed he was an atheist. And then he started asking questions about God, and he genuinely wanted to hear about Jesus. So that's just an example. There's been so many stories that she's told me of, just people coming up to her and just wanting to talk about Jesus because they see how she lives her life. Moving on to the next point, it says living missionally means living intentionally. We have to live this intentionally. If we're going to have a mission mindset, we have to be intentional about how we live our lives. Our theme here at CLC this year has been purpose. Living missionally is living on purpose for a purpose. In Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 16, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." So circumspectly means to be cautious, mindful not to take risk, and to carefully consider circumstances and consequences before acting or speaking. The way that you treat people, how you respond to difficulty, how you speak, these are all part of your witness. Sister Brittany talked about it the first week of this series. She talked about, people are going to see your actions long before they hear your words. They're going to see how you live your life, how you treat people, how you choose to handle situations long before, you speak anything that they hear. So that's why it's so important for us to intentionally live every day with a mission mindset. And we've already talked about, the power that each one of us has when we receive the Holy Ghost. And if, like I said, if you're anything like me, finding confidence can be hard. So let's talk about the confidence to share your faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 8, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." I'd say that's another pretty familiar scripture. It's definitely one that I try to remind myself of a lot. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. He doesn't give us confusion. I can have a sound mind because God gives us a sound mind. Again, like Sister Brittany said the first week of this series, effectively sharing your faith isn't always preaching. It's often planting seeds through testimony, kindness, consistency, and courage to live a life that shows Jesus in everything you do. So let's talk about some practical tips to find that confidence to share our faith. Again, it is important that we try to push ourselves to step outside of our comfort zones and talk to people when we feel God leading us to do so. But that's not the only way that you can witness. Simply be you. Be real with people. Be honest about who you are. Just show them who you are. Build those relationships. Pastor said in one of his messages not long ago, I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was Brother Brad Rogers. He pulled up on the platform and he said that they connected. I think he was working on his motorcycle and they just connected through that. Pastor didn't really, he didn't really witness to him. He just was who he is. He was just himself. And he just built a friendship with Brother Rogers, just through that. And then you see where God has brought Brother Rogers in this church, what he's been doing. That's all we need to do. We just need to be us. We need to be ourselves and build those connections, build those friendships. And then because we've established that foundation with a person, God will guide us into conversations where you can begin to share your story and you can begin to tell people how, God has changed you or is still changing you. God's He's never going to be done working on us. till he comes back, we're still going to be growing, we're still going to be learning and striving to be better. So it's important for us to be real with people about what God is doing in our lives even now. And then just be available. Be available for people to talk to. Be available for someone to know. Like I said, with my friend at McDonald's, she knew I was a Christian. She knew that I prayed. And so she came to me with a prayer request. And that's happened at my work now. That's happened, with several people. They've come to me and told me about stuff going on in their life. One in particular, a lady that I work with, her name's Anita. I've requested prayer many times for her husband. His name's Tony. He had the cancer in his kidney. It was a 20 something pound tumor on his kidney that they had to remove. And because she knew what I believe, she came to me and asked for prayer, and I brought it here to the church, and we prayed, and we prayed over prayer cloth, and we gave it to him. And she told me that he took that prayer cloth with him into his bedroom, laid it on his chest. Laid it on his chest, and he just began speaking in tongues. He's still got a long road ahead of him, but I believe God's working. And I believe God is going to do great things in Tony's life, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that God chose to put me there. I'm so thankful that God gave me the opportunity to get to know Anita and Tony and to be that light in their life. And they've been a light in mine too. They're amazing people. So just be available, Be you, be available for people to come to you and ask for prayer. Be available. Sometimes all someone needs is a person that will listen to what they're going through, a person that will show them, hey, I hear you. I see you. I'm going to be praying with you and believing with you. Apologize for getting super emotional right there. And finally, just be excited and encouraging when you talk about Jesus. When I think about what God has done for me, when I think about He knew every mistake I would make. He knew how I would fail. He knew how I would struggle. And he still chose me. He still chose to go to that cross for me. He chose to go to that cross for each and every one of us. So it's so important that we show that thankfulness, that joy, that love that we have for God when we talk about Jesus. It's so important that we encourage people when we talk about the Lord, when we let that light shine through you. That's the whole point. We're supposed to be a light for people to see. We're supposed to, it's not, like I said before, it's not always just preaching. It's not just preaching at people. It's not just constantly, speaking the Bible at people's faces. It's about living it. It's about showing them in your life how to live for the Lord, how to live in His love, and showing that to people on a daily basis. And that is what we are called to do. So on, if y'all look at the back of your papers, I've got a couple questions that I would love for us to discuss. I would love to hear your thoughts on. The first one says, what environment are you in most throughout the week, and how can you intentionally represent Jesus in that place? I know most of us are probably, it's probably work. But does anyone want to talk about the environments that they are in and how they can have or can start to represent Jesus more?
I'll go first. So I was a dental assistant for 12 years. And then I worked at a private school just in the last couple of years. But I was a stay-at-home mom, and I feel like our son just started college, and our daughter is like going to be starting high school next year. But I'm at home. I've heard to homeschool her for this season and also in college. But I feel like I've done so many ministries that it almost doesn't feel like ministry being at home when it's the complete opposite. It's the biggest ministry that I have in this season. And just being intentional about talking to Shaylin, talking with Shaylin about the Bible, sharing God's word with Shaylin, teaching Shaylin how to be a woman of grace and how to live in this generation that she's in right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like just being intentional about being a mom and a wife in this season, it feels like it's not ministry just because you've done so many things outside of your home. Mm-hmm. When in reality, especially if you have children in the home, that is your biggest ministry right there, your biggest harvest right there. So just being intentional about teaching our children.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, like I said, I grew up in a Christian home. So, you know, your kids are growing up in a Christian home and you're showing them that even though it's a Christian home and you believe it, you're still going to be intentional with them. You're still going to be intentional. That's amazing. And even for me, like, even though I live at home with my family, even though we're all believers, you know, it's important for me to show the love of Jesus even to my family. Even though we all believe, it's important for me to show the love of Jesus. It's important for us to be intentional, like you're saying. It's important for us to stay intentional no matter where we are. And that's very important in our homes. It's not just for, you know, the son or daughter or the parent who's serving Jesus alone. You know, it's not just for them, but it's for us who have that family that all believe. It's important for us to show it too. And it's also very important for if you're the only one serving God in your home, it's also very important that you're intentional in that. Anyone else that wants to talk about that?
I'll say, I think the thing about the idea of reflecting Jesus in our daily lives, I think sometimes it's easy to kind of think in a high-minded way, I guess, about that, to where you feel like everything that comes out of your mouth has to be like quoting scriptures.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of times that might get turned off to be people, kind of pushes them away. But I do think that, and it's a little cliched, a little cheesy, but, you know, years ago we had the What Would Jesus Do movement. And I think, you know, as commercialized as that got, really at the heart of that is the way we should all be thinking. And I do truly think that if you were reflecting Jesus truly in your life, not a lot has to be said.
Right.
You know, everywhere Jesus went, people knew he was the Son of God. And so, and we're called to kind of reflect that in our lives as well. And so, again, we're never going to, you know, attain that level. I know that. But I've had so many people even that I work with that would say things about the way I handle certain situations. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a reflection of God through me. Because, like, my flesh doesn't necessarily always want to do the things. You know, whenever a client reacts in a certain way about something and I've, you know, try to show them grace, I try to extend grace to them and try to, when my coworkers are ranting about that situation and they're angry about that situation, and I can try to afford grace or, you know, try to be forgiving in certain situations and be or show gratitude in certain situations that I've not seen other people do. And I hear those responses from my coworkers. I know that that's just a reflection of Christ through me. It's not a my own flesh, because that's in a lot of ways, not my flesh's normal reaction. You know, I you know, sometimes I'm hurt and I do feel like I want to lash out, but then I have to pull back and say, how can I respond in a Christ-like way? So I do think that it's not been many times that I've been able to like just outright witness to somebody at my work. I'm a remote worker, so everything is done on video, and it's difficult when we have very client-driven meetings and we're talking about business, but then like try to swing over and then start talking about things of God.
Right.
But even just those attitude things can make such a huge difference in how people see us and how and they know. My coworkers, like, they change the way they talk around.
Yeah.
They don't talk a certain way in that run real quick. Right. They do. It's always followed by a quick apology. Oh, sorry, yeah. Noticing kind of thing. I've never called anybody out. I never said don't talk that way around you, but they know.
Yeah.
And so I think that's how I do it.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. I get that too. People will come in the office and start saying a bunch of things, and they're like, "I'm sorry, I shouldn't be talking like this in front of you." I'm like, it's fine. But just being that's why it's got to be so deep within us. We've got to live that every day. And like you said, there are times that you are frustrated, you are hurt, and you do want to lash out. But we have to constantly remind ourselves, how would Jesus handle this? That's what's important. So, what Poe did you have?
Yeah, I was just going to echo a little bit kind of what Chris said as well. We kind of talked a little bit about it, but just, in my work environment, I've been in Eastman for 5 years now, a little over 5 years. And in certain areas, it can be a very challenging environment to be in. There's construction environment, plant environment that it is. A lot of people don't care, and I'll just speak out however they want to. But as you kind of get around your team and as they learn you and know what you're about and know what you believe, and, I would say 95% of the people, like Chris mentioned, they respect how you live your life.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's something that they're not to the point where they want to level up to be at that level that you're at and how you're serving God, they respect it. And I think if you show kindness, it changes the way they act around you, they speak around you.
Mm-hmm.
That's been what I've experienced, even in that environment. I've been very blessed. Right now I work, I have a shop that I work out of. I work behind a computer now. And so I'm usually 90% of the day I'm behind my desk by myself, but I'm still around the guys. And when there's issues or situations that they're dealing with, I would say the majority of the time they come to me to, "Hey, I was just praying about this." Or,
yeah.
And so you're just trying to be the light, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you show yourself available and you show love one towards another, those opportunities are going to continue to build, and then you're going to keep seeing them more and more.
Yeah.
So again, you don't have to preach out. Just show love.
Yeah, that's good. The next question, it says, in what ways have you unintentionally hidden your light or held back from sharing your faith? What's one step that we can take to overcome that? So I know I talked about earlier, like, it can be very easy to get just caught up in your own business, your own stuff that's going on, that you just forget to see people the way that we're supposed to see people. And is there anyone that you feel like there's been times when you've, I wish I wouldn't have, been so focused on this, that could have been a really good opportunity with that person. Is there anyone that wants to say anything on that?
I will say that I think we get in this mindset, this narrative at times where we just believe that people don't want to hear it. We feel like at times they don't hear about that. They don't want to know about what I believe, and it's so far from the truth. They do want to know because they see the way you live your life. They see your life as a living testimony, even if they don't understand it. And I think being more open when you have the opportunity to share with someone about your faith, taking advantage of it and don't hide it. I've been guilty of it. I think we all have, for honest ourselves. There's been time where we've, shut down or avoided the conversation. But I mean, that's what we're living on mission for. That's where God's called us to, whatever mission field we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we are being the light, take advantage of every opportunity God gives us, because people do want to hear it. They are hungry, and we just got to take advantage of everything God gives us.
Yeah, that's so true.
I think also this is an unfortunate thing, but I think whenever you live your life so openly as a Christian, there are certain people that are looking for you to fail. That, you know, they're looking for a chink in your armor, so to speak.
Right.
And so I think we have to be careful sometimes then whenever we allow our flesh to get the best of us. You have those moments that it happens to all of us. But whenever it happens in a situation where people have been kind of looking at you to be a certain way, and then you allow that to maybe come out in an inopportune moment, I worry sometimes what that might do to a witness. And I think the best way to handle that is if somebody witnessed that publicly, is to try to make that right. So this is way, 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 way back when I was like in high school, junior high school kind of type period. I found myself being a dumb kid, and I got the worst potty mouth you could imagine. I wanted to fit in with the kids that were at school, and I allowed myself to get caught up in the way that the world was speaking. And it wasn't until I had moved away from that school when I was a sophomore, and I lived my life. When I went to the next school, I remember praying to God, I'm going to change. I'm going to be different at this school. I'm not going to allow that to take over me again. And when I graduated, a bunch of my friends were at the University of Illinois. And I remember I went up to visit them. These are guys that I had gone to school with when I was, you know, speaking like oral. I went to them, I sat down with them, and I had to, like, it was embarrassing to say this, to do this, but I literally told them, I said, I need to apologize to you all, because I was not a good Christian. I was not a good witness. I stood for something, and I allowed myself to get taken over by something else. And I'm ashamed of that, and I'm sorry. And to a person, they all said, we knew what you were. Like, they knew, you know, and so they were very forgiving of that. But, yeah, you know, it was something where I had to, like, go and publicly apologize to them, because, you know, I wish I could do it to more people. But I think that's the only way we can make that right, is just say, I slipped up. I you know, I let my anger get the best of me in this moment. I lashed out or whatever at somebody, and be able to apologize to that person and make it right. Because, I mean, hopefully they'll see that as being the right thing. Well, I think what we can't do is just move on and act like it didn't happen.
Right.
And then, you know, allow our witness to be tainted. I think, you know, it's a fact of life. Like, we're human, we're going to slip up, but, you know, if we can do anything to make that right with that person, I think that shows that we're trying to be better, trying to be more correct.
Absolutely.
Thanks for going.
Yeah, completely. That's like what I was saying earlier. Just be real. Be you. You know, we're not supposed to be perfect. You know, if we try to be perfect, we're not going to reach very many people. So just be real. Be you. And, you know, in that situation, I'm sure those men look back on that and they're like, you know, that's what a Christian should be. You know, real, honest, own up to their mistakes, you know. Yes, I made this mistake, but I'm trying to be better. And I want you all to know that, you know, this is what life you can have if, you know, you live for God. You know, God can work in you in this way. That's a good testimony. And I'm sure that those people look back on that and they appreciate it. Is there any other, anyone else who wants to talk about this question? Or is there, yes.
Anytime I have ever failed back, it's been for one of two reasons. Either fear of rejection. All humans like to be accepted. They all like to be rejected. Or it has been where I'd say, now God, was that you telling me to do that or to talk to that person? Well, anytime you are prompting to talk to someone, 99 chances out of 100, it was God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did let go it on their own. But those are the two things that have at times held me back.
Yeah, that's good. And like Brother Poe said, we most of the time we think they don't want to hear it, and most of the time it's they do.
Yeah,
people do want to know. So I completely understand, you know, not wanting to be rejected. I get that. So yeah, that's something that we have to be mindful of. You know, if we feel God laying that on our hearts, we got to trust Him. We got to trust that if He laid it on our hearts and we step out in faith, He's going to meet us there. He's going to show up and help us. Is there any other questions that anyone else has, or any of the other questions that you would like to talk about on the sheet? Or anyone else who has anything in general they would like to say? I really appreciate you all. Thank you. I appreciate you all being here and being involved in these pathway series. Like I said at the beginning, I think that they're great for our church, and I'm excited to see what God's going to continue to do through them. Thank you all for being here today, and I'll see you guys in the service.